Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. It is springtime, and another of God's major festivals arrives. This one, like most others, is commanded by God as a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, and it's one to which Jesus leads us year after year. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and disappeared from the caravan after Passover? Even in his adolescence, he was drawn to the temple, and his parents had to search for him. However, where else would he be found except in his father's house? At his young age, he was located, sitting with the teachers, and although this temple conversation is not recorded verbatim, one may imagine that at least part of that conversation was about the feast of the Passover, which had just ended. Scripture does record Jesus' teaching about the Feast of Passover, a teaching Christians celebrate on Maundy Thursday and every time they come to his supper at the altar. Jesus used this festival to prepare the disciples for his departure. Passover is a defining event in Jewish life and history. At the Passover, God showed his power, his majesty, his protection, and love for his people when, with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, he brought them out of the land of Egypt. We're well acquainted with these events. Not only have they been recorded in Scripture, but I'm sure that Charlton Heston's Moses is once again dramatically leading the Israelites again in the classic movie, The Ten Commandments, and that sometime in this time of year, children are again watching the animated film, The Prince of Egypt. The Exodus story is imprinted on our culture. The Passover is central to the Exodus and has become the principal celebration of the Exodus by the Jewish people. A primary component of the Passover is the Seder, the Passover meal, and the many traditions that developed around it through the centuries. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper while he and his disciples celebrated the Seder. And in a sense, we Christians also recall the Passover when we come to the Supper of the Lord. The Passover celebrates freedom from physical slavery. The Lord's Supper celebrates freedom from slavery to sin. The Seder, which simply means order, is the liturgy for the remembrance of the Exodus. And a major part of the Seder is called the Haggadah. Simply put, the telling. Telling the story is most important to the Jewish people. And many elements of the Seder support the telling of the story. Ceremonial foods, for example, represent events leading up to the Exodus. First, perhaps most important, is the matzo, unleavened bread, called the bread of haste because the Israelites did not have time to let the bread rise before they fled into the desert. They were prepared to leave at a moment's notice, and so the matzo is eaten today in remembrance. In the tradition of the Seder, unleavened bread has come to represent purity. Therefore, the matzo represents something sinless. Other ceremonial foods explained in detail during a Seder are bitter roots and horseradish to bring tears to the eyes. And these tears recall the tears of bitterness shed by God's people while in Egypt. Scripture notes that God commanded the bitter roots to be eaten with unleavened bread, and it was probably this dipping of the bread into the bowl of bitter roots that Jesus referred to When he said of Judas, and you heard it before, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. Haroset, a sweet mixture of nuts, lime, apples, and honey, has been added to the tradition of the Seder and represents the mortar used to build the cities of Pharaoh. Karpas, today parsley is substituted, was a green leafy plant with a long stalk called hyssop. Hyssop, you may recall, is the plant that David cried out to be cleansed with in Psalm 51 after his sin with Bathsheba. And it was a hyssop stick on which the sponge was raised to the cross to soothe the thirst of our dying Messiah. Hyssop represents cleansing. God said to take the hyssop and dip it into the blood of a sacrificed lamb and paint this blood on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where the lamb was to be eaten. And this sign, the blood of the lamb, identified God's chosen people to the angel of death when he passed through the land, slaying the firstborn of Egypt. So the parsley representing hyssop is dipped into a bowl of salt water to recall the blood that was shed, the death that was spared the Jews, and the tears of the Egyptians. There are food elements that represent the Passover lamb also, a roasted egg being an important one, and a lamb shank kind of set to the side. No lamb is served at a Passover meal because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The sacrifice of the lamb, therefore, is no longer permitted. So the egg represents a roasted lamb. Traditionally, the darkened shell is removed to find the white of the eggs, symbolizing new birth. Through Jesus, we know that although the lamb was sacrificed, the shell darkened, death was the result, it was not a permanent death. Rebirth came 3 days later. So when the white egg is consumed, the darkened shell discarded, one can see a picture of being reborn in the image of him who was darkened and reborn for us. So then, the table is set with a place for everyone invited, and Elijah's place, a vacant seat for one that the Jewish people hope will come but has not yet. It's also a tradition in some homes to invite a quote-unquote foreigner to the table, a Gentile, even a Gentile Christian. Other accoutrements for the meal include the Seder plate for the ceremonial foods, wine goblets, linen napkins, and something called a matzo tosh. A matzo tosh is a curious object. It is one piece of linen with three sections. Before the meal, a sheet of matzo is placed in each of the three sections. Now, how this tradition started is debated, but most agree it actually predates the time of Jesus. Some scholars argue it was started by Jesus' disciples to remember his last Passover. Most rabbis argue that the matzo tosh designates Israel and her patriarchy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From these men come one people. Other opinions link the matzo tosh to the worship in the temple. In the service of one God, there was the temple, the Levites who took care of the temple, and the priests. Jewish Christians consider these three parts of the matzo tosh symbolic of the Trinity, three persons, one God. Now, at one point during the meal, the head of the table will take the matzo tosh and remove the middle matzo He will break this matzo in half, and one half, called the afikomen, is wrapped in a linen napkin and hidden. Afikomen means that which comes after and has been interpreted to be the last food consumed at the Seder. And following the meal, the children at the table get to go looking for the afikomen, which is hidden, and the one who finds it receives a gift. Usually that gift is the child's first Hebrew scriptures. It's a tradition to give that gift at the festival of Shavuot, or Pentecost, 50 days later. In addition, 4 cups of wine are consumed at the Seder. Each cup has a name and corresponds to God's promises in Exodus 6. I will bring you out from under the yoke. I will free you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. The third cup is called the cup of redemption. It follows the supper of the Seder and is consumed with the afikomen. The afikomen and the cup of redemption recall God's promise of redemption. Matthew records them. While they were eating the Seder meal, Jesus took bread, quite possibly the afikomen, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, notes it to be the cup after supper, the third cup of the Seder, the cup of redemption. Jesus gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Holy Scripture has been compared to a photo album. The pictures have frames and spaces between them, but the context of the Seder fills in some of the spaces for us. Jesus took the bread, the matzo, that is prepared very carefully for the Passover. It is unleavened, so it does not rise, therefore it burns easily. The dough is rolled out in sheets, and then a wheel with pins is rolled over it to pierce the dough so that the heat will rise through the bread, cooking it rapidly. But the bread does have baking marks between the perforations. There are dark stripes where the heat does not rise through the bread. So here's where it all comes together. When Jesus took that bread, he was telling the truth. It is his body, sinless, pierced through, striped by heat, broken, wrapped in linen, and hidden away. To be found not too much later. When Jesus took the wine, he was being truthful. This cup, the cup of redemption, is his blood, the blood that would be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. It is his blood that paints the door frames of our hearts. And his words would bring to mind for the disciples a promise and prophecy spoken by Jeremiah 600 years earlier. God would bring to his people a new covenant. Not like the one that he gave them when he brought them by the hand out of the land of Egypt. No, in this covenant, God would forgive the sins of his people forever and remember their wickedness no more. Only the blood of God's own Son could accomplish this miracle. And on this night, Jesus tells them, "It is done." Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for every feast that you have given to your people, most especially this Passover meal, in which we see your body and your blood broken and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Feed your children, God most holy. In Jesus' name, amen.